Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, now I'm joined by Gito Llewellyn, who you may know from his work with the Carmarthen Journal and from the Jackcast, which is a great Swansea podcast. He's also on here a fair bit when he can. Gito, this was a very strange season for Swansea. You had loads of managers, player movement. There was a lot going on, but at the end of the day, you have secured Premier League play for the 2017-18 season, and I assume if the season hadn't happened, if you'd just been told at the start of the year you're going to be in the Premier League next season, you would have been fine with it?
Yes, but if that had happened, I would probably be in better health now than I am at the moment. It's been a taxing season. It's been an eventful season. I think Swansea could have a fair shout for being the most eventful club in the Premier League this season. We've had a lot going on. All started with a chaotic summer and an unpopular takeover, which really messed up our transfer plans and meant our preparations for the season were awful. We had a difficult start to the season and didn't really cope well with it. Sacked our first manager, rightly, but in a very undignified fashion. And we got rid of Francesco Guidolin and brought in the famous Bob Bradley, who will go down in history as one of the worst managers in Premier League history. Yep. Then, of course, we sacked him pretty much midway through the season when we had 12 points and we were rock bottom of the Premier League. Having witnessed some of the worst defending ever seen on a football pitch. And at that point, we thought we were dead and buried. We thought there was no hope of survival. We'd won three games. We'd just broken a record for losing four consecutive games by a three-goal margin, which no other team had ever done in Premier League history. We were shipping goals at just the most ridiculous rate. And there just didn't seem to be any hope. And then suddenly Paul Clement comes in. We always felt that was a positive appointment, but not one that could really realistically keep us up. But lo and behold, he brought in a few decent players in the January transfer window, got some big wins early on, got us out of the relegation zone, took us back into the relegation zone with a big dip in form just as Fernando Llorente got injured. But then just when we absolutely needed it, when we had that final chance really to take a fight of it, we did. And for a club which had shown incredible mental fragility throughout the season, somehow we managed to hold our nerves and Hull, who had looked very impressive, lost their nerve, which is not something most people would have predicted. But it just shows how quickly momentum can swing in football. There was that one weekend when Hull incredibly lost to Sunderland, and then later on in the same day we beat Everton, and suddenly that shift happened, and we never looked back and managed to see out the season. And somehow we were safe with a week to spare. It was a season of ups and downs, a season of incredible frustration for the most part, but somehow we've stayed up and ended up in the respectable position of 15th somehow.
Yeah, that weekend was absolutely incredible. I missed the start of that match. I was out to a coffee shop with a couple of my friends because matches happen in the morning here. And I watched the second half on my phone and just slowly had more people just like scooching around just an iPhone screen watching the second half of that as you tried to hold on to that lead. It was huge. It was a great, great weekend. And as has been pointed out to me, apparently my Swansea bias is not that well hidden. So was very pleased that you did stay up in the end. You touched on Bob Bradley, who we did a segment when he was brought in, and I said he was Tim Sherwood-esque, but maybe with not as good tactics, and that terrified you. And then that wasn't wrong. What has been the reception towards the American ownership after that kind of forced move, but then the later admittance of mistake-making and then correction with Paul Clement?
I think your exact quote was, Bob Bradley was that he was Tim Sherwood without the ego.
Which
again, it stuck with me ever since because it turned out to be so true. It really was so true. That was a really, really bad period in the season because nobody wanted Bob Bradley at the club. Nobody at all. Nobody thought his CV was up to scratch. You know, since leaving the US men's national team, he'd had an unsuccessful stint in Egypt, and then he'd done a bit of work in Norway, which is an incredibly weak league, really. And then he was in Ligue 2, which is, again, a very, very poor league, really. I watch a lot of Ligue 2 football this season, and it's not good, has to be said. So it wasn't good preparation for one of the biggest leagues in the world. And he came in, and he had no idea what he was doing from day one. He kept on changing the side in the vague hope that he would stumble upon a system which worked. There were no tactics. He had zero clue how to organize the team defensively, and his attacking tactics all pretty much revolved around winning corners and throw-ins and then asking Gylfie Sigurdsson to do everything. There was no organization to anything we did. There was no real planning to anything we did. We looked so out of place in the Premier League. We actually lost by 3-0 to Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough, a team that couldn't score against anybody else, scored 3 goals against us. It was just incredible to watch the way we played under Bob Bradley. That was something that really turned fans even more against the American owners, and it threatened to get very nasty at that point. Because they weren't popular anyway. And then they come in and they appoint their own man in a pretty undignified manner too, sacking Francesco Guidolin without much class in the full glare of the media. And then Bob Bradley came in and he was just so awful. And I know, you know, there were some sections of the English media who tried to make a lot of it about his nationality and the fact that he was American. I had to do an interview where they tried to put words in my mouth, basically saying, "Oh, it doesn't help, does it? The terms that he's using and the language that he's using." And it was complete nonsense because Swansea fans really did not care one bit about that. 99% of our fan base did not care one bit that he was American. We've had people of all 10 nationalities managing the club. The problem was that he was just nowhere near good enough to be managing a Premier League team. And the one saving grace was that he only lasted 11 games, which I think is the second shortest tenure for a permanently appointed Premier League manager. He left just in time to save our season. I thought we'd left it too late, but he left it just in time. And the appointment of Paul Clement gave the new owners that tiniest bit more credit because he was more typical of a Swansea City manager. He was probably what we needed when we appointed Bob Bradley. But for some reason, we overlooked Paul Clement at that stage and we gave it to Bradley, and it could have and probably should have sent us down, if we're being honest. But That since then, relations with the American owners have improved considerably. They've acknowledged the mistakes that they've made. They've admitted that they're still learning, that they're eager to build bridges, and they're making the right kind of noises at the moment. which is certainly not what they were doing in the first half of the season. So the ownership situation and their relationship with the fans and with the Supporters Trust has improved considerably since the Bob Bradley era. There's still some way to go, there's no doubt about that. But that was a real... That was quite a dark period in our history, those 11 games under Bob Bradley. They were not good times for Swansea City Football Club.
Obviously not. When you say that things have gotten better with the ownership because of admitted mistakes, has the match day experience changed for Swansea fans at all under the new ownership?
It's changed. The one thing I'll say is that this season could very well prove to be a good one in terms of our fan base, because over the last few years, I think, and it happens when clubs get promoted to the Premier League and they have a few comfortable seasons where they don't really worry about relegation, fans can get a little bit complacent. The atmosphere certainly wasn't what it used to be. This season, you know, the first half of the season, it turned very nasty, and there was real anger towards the new owners, towards the old owners, towards Bob Bradley. You know, that was an unpleasant time. But since then, the fans have pulled together, and the atmosphere has improved immensely. And towards the end of the season, again, just when we needed everything to go our way, that massive Stoke game that we had, where we had to win just to keep our hopes alive, really, the fans turned up that day, and they stuck with the team then for the rest of the season. And the atmosphere against Everton home, the atmosphere against Sunderland away, the atmosphere of the weekend against West Brom, they're some of the best atmospheres we've had in years. They really are. So I'm hoping just the kind of scare of relegation, the fact that fans really had to put up a fight and had to put in a bit more effort, it forced fans to turn up, really. And hopefully it teaches us a lesson. You know, if we can do this when we're in you know, right up against it, well, why can't we really put in a bit more effort in every other game? And hopefully it'll see us, you know, regain a bit of pride in our own ability to make an atmosphere, and it'll re-energise the fan base. There was some good news in terms of season ticket renewal rates. I think it was about 96% renewal. And considering the first half of the season we had, and the fact that renewal date stopped around about March, I thought that was quite an incredible statistic, really. And it shows that, you know, the fan base is as strong probably as it's ever been, if we're being honest, after really being put through a test this season. That's been one of the positives from this season.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how you carry that into next season. But for now, I want to shift to talking about a player that is obviously very dear to my heart, and I'm sure it has been to Swansea's, which is one Gylfi Thor Sigurdsson. That's not a joke. That's literally his middle name. Just what has he meant to Swansea since rejoining?
He's a hero. He's one of our all-time greats. I think if you love football, you love watching Gylfi Sigurdsson play, because he's just such a complete footballer. Okay, he doesn't have pace, but apart from that, he does actually have everything. I mean, his set-piece taking ability is quite possibly the best in the Premier League, if we're being honest. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne would have something to say about that, possibly. Willian takes a good free kick, obviously. But the consistency with which Gylfi Sigurdsson delivers world-class balls from dead balls, and like, he will he will get an assist from every possible position. The amount of times that we have scored this season from free kicks inside the centre circle or on the edge of the centre circle is astonishing. It's an appalling crossing position. And yet, time and time again, he has managed to pick out players in the box to set up goals, which is something that no other player in this league can do, if I'm honest. But you give him a set piece and you always think he's going to create something. But apart from that, I mean, his passing is incredible. His long-range shooting is amazing. His work rate on top of that is second to none. He runs more than any other player on the pitch. And he's got this unbelievable intelligence. If he had any pace at all, he would be among the best players in the world. But he's far too good to be playing for a team like Swansea. He really is. He's just kept us up this season. Without him, we would have been down. Without him, I mean, God knows how many wins we've had this season. It would have been, I would have been able to count them on one hand, probably. He's that important to everything we do. And he's just, his overall demeanour too, it's fantastic. He is just a professional. He doesn't make a song and dance about everything. He is just a nice guy, gets on with the job. When things are going badly and when he's having to carry the team, he doesn't really complain, but he does lead by example. And he's just a fantastic player to have around the club. But there has been a sense this season that we've sort of been trying to appreciate it as much as possible, because we know there is quite a decent chance that he won't be here next season. Like I said, he's far too good to be in a relegation battle. He should be playing European football. And there is quite a lot of talk now that Everton could be lining up a bid, especially if they get rid of Ross Barkley. I think Gylfie Sigurdsson would be an enormous upgrade on Barkley. And I do quite like Barkley in a strange way, but Gylfie Sigurdsson is the complete opposite. He's a far more disciplined player. He's a far more reliable player. He actually contributes more to a team than Barkley. I mean, Barkley will turn up every, you know, he'll do something fantastic every now and again. Gylfie Sigurdsson is somebody that does it time and time again, and you can rely on him to turn up pretty much every game. So there is we expect a struggle to keep hold of him. He has said that, you know, he's happy at Swansea and that he's not trying to leave the club. But at the same time, realistically, you look at a player of his ability, why would he turn down an offer from Everton to stay at Swansea? As much as I do believe he loves the club and, you know, this is his second stint here. He is an absolute hero and always will be. But I just can't see him. I just really struggle to see him staying here next season. And my biggest hope at the moment is that if, as I expect we will, that we do sell him, that we do get the full amount that he is worth. Because last season was a bit of a joke. We sold Andre Ayew, who was our top goal scorer. We sold him for 20 million in an incredibly wild market where you know, a player like Sissoko could go for 30 million and Bolasie could go for 30 million and kids who'd had a couple of minutes in the Premier League were going for multi-millions. You know, to sell Andre Ayew for 20 million was amazingly short-sighted by the club and showed an amateur streak, really, in our summer dealings. So hopefully this season we'll see us get a sensible price for Gylfie Sigurdsson, and that would mean that we sell him for a minimum of £35 million. Anything less than that would probably cause uproar in Swansea, if I'm honest. He is a £35 million, £40 million player. He is in that category. And if we sell him for less than that, then it would kill morale around the club. It really will. But he is just he's been head and shoulders our best player. He's been the best player in the bottom half of the Premier League easily. I'd probably say he's been the best player outside of the top seven. He's been just a fantastic player to watch. And if there's one player who's kept us up this season, it is him.
Yeah, he's obviously been incredible. In ranks of best seasons for Swansea players ever, where does he fall?
I actually argued the other day that he may be the best footballer ever to play for Swansea. And obviously, you know, that's quite a difficult thing to argue because you have different players from different eras who played in very different styles, etc. But when you look at what he has contributed for years, not just this season for Swansea, it's been incredible. And, you know, over the last few seasons, I guess we've had a few players who've had amazing one-off seasons. And, you know, thinking particularly of Michu, Wilfred Bony had an amazing year and a half year. You know, we've had the odd attacking player who's just managed to shine here in a very short space of time. But Gylfie Sigurdsson is just an incredible footballer to watch. Everything about him is just fascinating. And if you are somebody who, like I said, if you are just somebody who loves football, you will love watching Gylfie Sigurdsson play. But the stats back it up. You know, there are plenty of beautiful footballers out there. The stats back it up. His assist count, I think he was second overall in the Premier League this season, which for a team right down the bottom is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. I think he was behind Kevin De Bruyne, but I'm not too sure he was actually by the end of the season. And he's pitched in with goals too. He's just been fantastic, and he's in my eyes the best player that I've ever seen for the Swans, and I've been watching them since 1999. We've seen six seasons of top flight football, you know, but I think he is the best footballer that I've ever seen put on the white shirt, and I'll be very sad when he's gone.
Yeah. Regardless of whether or not he does go, financially, obviously, it looks like he does, but those quotes do make it sound a little more promising for you. Where do you think you will need to strengthen before the 17-18 season?
Well, I mean...
I would like to point out that at one point of the season, you said... keep Sigurdsson and Llorente, replace everyone else. I assume it's not that drastic.
No, it's not that drastic by now, but I still think we've got a lot of players in the squad at the moment who aren't up to Premier League standard. I think it is important that we clear out a few of those players. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the impression we get from interviews with the chairman, Hugh Jenkins, since we clinched survival is that they are complacent and that they think, oh, well, we've stayed up this season, so we don't need a massive overhaul. I think there are a lot of players there that I don't want to be relying on next season, the likes of Wayne Routledge, Nathan Dyer, you know, players who were good at one point, were very good at one point, in fact, and have served Swansea very well, but we've held on to them for about two seasons too long, and they're now, they probably wouldn't get into most championship teams, but still... Wayne Routledge has played most of Swansea's games this season, which is frightening. It tells you a lot about why we were where we were for most of the season. I think we do definitely need another centre back. It's an area that's improved towards the end of the season, but it's still problematic. We probably need a right back to play ahead of Kyle Naughton, even though I'll admit I'm not Kyle Naughton's biggest fan, but he has improved this season, but it's still an area where we should be doing better, really. We need more defensive know-how in midfield. We're still so reliant on Leon Britton. Our form changed when he came back into the team, and he's 34 at the moment.
Yeah, what would you have, four of your last five matches once he came back?
Yes, we did. Yes, I think it was four of our last five. Yes, with one draw in the middle there. I mean that tells you the difference. He just gets you playing better football. His intelligence is just incredible. Even if his body maybe can't do what he's done for, and he's for years now been one of the most underrated players in the Premier League. He really is. He just makes us tick. An incredibly intelligent central midfielder, but he's 34. You know, how much longer can we rely on him? So we need somebody else who's got that little bit more defensive know-how and can pass a ball. It's going to be difficult because Leon Britton's quite a unique footballer in terms of style. There aren't many like him out there. So it's going to be difficult in terms of finding a replacement for Leon Britton. It's probably going to be Tom Carroll long-term that we're going to try and mould into that that position, unless, of course, we bring back Joe Allen, who is another fantastic fit for that position. But we need, a centre-back, central midfielder. We also need a right-back and two wingers. Our wingers are disgraceful. The standard of our wingers is just appalling.
What did you think of Narsing once he came in?
He's been underwhelming, but I'd keep him just because he's only had half a season. We need to see him. We've seen a few flashes, but generally he's not produced much. He had a very good game against West Brom when he came off the bench and set up the winner and looked generally dangerous. But for most of the season, he's really flattered to deceive. And when he has had a chance, he hasn't really taken it. I'd hope that after a full preseason, that he would be better placed to really settle in the Premier League. And there are a few players in the squad that I'd say that about. Borja is another one who fits into that category for me, although others disagree. But the other wingers we've got, the likes of Montero, Routledge, Dyer, Barrow, they're not reliable. They're not players that are good enough for the Premier League anymore. They need to go, and we need at least two more wingers because it's a major, major weak spot in the squad. Those are the priorities, really. Those are the main areas that need to be strengthened.
Fair enough. And if you do address those needs, what is the goal next year for the club, and what is your expectation as a fan? Just staying up again?
Yeah, I think we've got ourselves into the position now where staying up is the main thing every season. But if you look at the Premier League this season, everybody outside the top seven has probably had that attitude. I mean, it's been pretty... There are several clubs who've disappointed in the sense that they reached 30, 40 points pretty quickly and then just said, no, we're fine, we don't need to try anymore, which tells you a lot about the sort of aims and the aspirations of many clubs in the Premier League at the moment. And, if Swansea stayed up this season with 40-something points, I can't remember exactly how much it was by now. Something similar again next season would be good, but in a less stressful manner. But it's going to be an interesting summer because last summer was so bad. It was so disastrously organised. That this season, we need a strong pre-season. We need players to start the season fit. We need all our transfer business done early. And if we are going to sell players, then get the right money for them and reinvest it wisely. If we do somehow manage to keep Gylfi Sigurdsson, there's no excuse next season. We should not be in a relegation battle. Because if we can keep Gylfi Sigurdsson and Fernando Llorente and add in one or two other areas, then we should not be in a serious relegation battle next season. If we do get rid of Llorente, if we do lose Sigurdsson in particular, then it'll be difficult because he does the work of three players. I don't even know if we'd be able to continue with the same formation. It would be really difficult to replace him. And if we were to lose Llorente too, then again, that's quite a lot of money then that you have to spend to find a replacement. So it's a bit early to say, how high up the table can we finish, etc. It really does depend on us keeping, whether we can keep Sigurdsson and Llorente. But at this stage, I would expect us to sell them. And for that reason, survival again next season would do me just fine. But I just want to see a little bit more planning this summer and no complacency, which we saw last season. Because they've had their warning now. They can't ignore this warning again. They have to learn from their lessons, and hopefully now the new owners will see what we've been talking about and will realise that it's not all sunshine and rainbows now that we've secured safety. There is still a bit of work to do.
Right. All right. Well, where can people find you over the off season?
You can still find me at the Jackcast on Twitter. We're going to still be doing the odd podcast over the summer, even if we can't keep up with weekly podcasts anymore. But we've just done our season review. That's up, and there are a few entertaining moments there, as well as several technical difficulties. but that's entertaining. But yeah, just keep a lookout at the Jackcast. And if you do live in Southwest Wales, you can still read my weekly column in the Carmarthen Journal.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much for your help all season, for coming on today and doing this. And best of luck to Swansea next year.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.